You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Just want to thank everybody from the regular listeners to the new listeners. If you're a new listener, welcome aboard. Hope you're enjoying, or if this is your first show, hope you will enjoy this wild ride through the Boston Celtics season. We're the Raining Jays. I am John Corrales, joined by Jay King of The Athletic. We had practice today. Celtics are back home for a little bit of a road homestand. Chicago Bulls up today, Wednesday, as this is the Wednesday show. And they practiced a couple of comments that were interesting. Before we get into the mailbag questions, we asked for mailbag. As always, Raining Jays hashtag is appreciated whenever you want to ask us questions. Hopefully we can get to all of them or most of them. And then we got some Raining Junk. People ask some goofy questions. That's how you ask goofy questions to us with the Raining Junk hashtag. All of that coming up today. So let's start with, I guess, Jaylen Brown was the most straightforward, forthcoming kind of guy at practice today in the media scrum, talking about the trust issues that they had. They haven't had the stuff that we've talked about, that they need to trust each other. He talks about his own rocky start to his third year, saying, quote, "It's been a rocky start to my third year. I knew it was coming. I knew it like after the first five games. It was going to be a struggle each and every day until we figure things out." So, Jay, what do you make of Jaylen's comments? One thing that really stuck out to me was when he talked about looking over his shoulder, or looking over your shoulder in general, where he said when the other guys are in there, knowing that there's guys behind you, here's the quote, knowing that there's guys behind you that is coming in and playing well, instead of looking over your shoulder and thinking about that, kind of plays into the trust things. Like, when he talks about looking over your shoulder, is he worried about getting pulled? Is he worried about,
you know? I think it's more probably, okay, if I pass the ball here, I may not get it back. I may not get this opportunity again. And that's why guys are looking over their shoulder. It's not like Jaylen Brown isn't getting pulled for making a simple mistake.
Right.
That's just not how Brad Stevens rolls. But there is a sense, I think, among this Celtics team right now, like, if I pass, and not only if I pass, I may not get it back, but if I pass, someone else may do some stupid BS and will right, waste a right. possession. So I think that's where the trust factor comes in. If you look at the Celtics, like, I mean, they're 27th in passes per game, which is very, very low, and abnormally low, especially for a Brad Stevens team. They were lower than normal for a Brad Stevens team last year, and they were still, I believe, in the top 15 in the league. But right now, they're in like almost Houston Rockets territory, which is like ISO mode. So they are just not moving the ball. They're not cutting. They don't have any signs of a good offense yet. And obviously, that's the most troubling part of their first 13 games.
Well, it goes back to that quote. I brought it up a couple of times, but I'll bring it up again because it's very appropriate. Brad Stevens saying at a practice, they had him mic'd up at a practice, and he says, a good shooting team is a good passing team. And that is kind of bearing out. They're one of the worst passing teams in the NBA. They're one of the worst shooting teams in the NBA. Their offense is one of the worst offenses in the NBA. And the reason why a good passing team is a good shooting team is because when the ball moves, like we've said, that leads to open shots. Now, of course, they've missed a bunch of open shots, but eventually that stat will even out. They can't be, they're too good to be at the bottom of the NBA in open shots. No matter what the open shots are, they're too good to be so low in the NBA. So I think it's telling what Jaylen Brown said, and it's an interesting look into what he and the rest of the Celtics are facing. I also thought that it was interesting today, Jay, that Brad Stevens going back to basics, kind of simplifying the practice. And it raises the question of, I remember in the preseason, Brad saying, we put a lot in because I felt like we could put a lot in with these guys. And maybe it was a miscalculation on Brad's part in the beginning to try and put too much in. Maybe it was overload, even with the familiarity with these guys, that getting back to the basics and saying, okay, we're trying to do maybe a lot of this heady stuff, and we've lost sight of the simple things that we need to do to be good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a miscalculation to put in a lot of stuff. I think, right, I mean, the Celtics have a lot of problems right now. I doubt, like, having too many plays is one of those problems. I do think they need to execute better, and I do think that they need to put a better emphasis from players to coaches on getting guys into better position to take quality shots. But yeah, Brad was like pretty eager for a day of practice, it sounded like. And I think he's just been kind of disgusted with how the Celtics have played so far. I think he has hated the way they've played offense so far. And he said he's shocked that they're top ranked in defense right now, which probably is the normal feeling after giving up 48 points to Jamal Murray and 37 or 38 or whatever it was to Devin Booker. And then Damian Lillard did a number on them the other night. But it's the offense that has stunk. It's the offense that has held them back, and it's the offense that they need to focus on and fix if they are going to make a run up the standings over the next however many months. And obviously it's not about being better right now. It's about being better come the playoffs, but the East is good and home court advantage could come into play. And the Celtics are putting themselves in a hole by starting off the way they have.
Sure. And look, and they've not been great on the road right now. So the home court advantage does seem to be a little bit more important. But again, it's November 14th when people are listening to this show. November 14th is not a time to be making determinations. As much as people get frustrated, as much as people want to overreact, we can't remember Novembers in the NBA. Like, I don't remember what happened last November necessarily. Like, so
that was your Dwight Howard quote right there.
Yeah. Was it?
That's what he literally said, almost the exact same thing, that the Wizards' motto is nobody will remember November.
Oh, Jesus.
You are Dwight Howard.
No.
You didn't even know you were Dwight Howard.
I didn't even know. Oh, my God. No. No. I've become everything I hate. Oh, this is horrible. I need a minute to process this. While I'm processing this, you guys should check out the Locked On NBA Net social media channels, the Twitter and the Instagram. On Twitter, it's everybody's Twitter feed, all of the Locked On podcast host Twitter feeds and it's curated so you don't get all of everything that people, it's just the good stuff. So you get like 2% of my tweets, which is, you know, about, and maybe I'm being generous, but you get all the good tweets from people on the Locked On NBA Net Twitter account. And on Instagram, on the stories, you get every day a quick minute. You get 4 clips, 15-second clips of the podcasts that are going on around the network. It's a great way to sample what's going on around the network so you can find out who you might want to listen to. I encourage everybody to listen to all of the Locked On Network podcasts. If we want to play the Bulls, listen to Locked On Bulls. Locked On Bulls does a great job. Listen to them going into the game. Listen to Locked On Raptors. Sean Woodley does an amazing job with Locked On Raptors. Listen to them when we go into that game on Friday. Obviously, Locked On Jazz is our boss, so go ahead and listen to that. Always encourage you to listen to our boss, so check them all out on our social outlets. Okay, we asked people to send us the Raining Jays and Raining Junk hashtag questions. So let's just dive into the Raining Jays. Raining Jays is the serious question, things you want to know about basketball. Raining Junk is a junk question about anything, could be as goofy as you want it to be. Generally Sam Jam Packard's domain, but he's not here tonight, so we're going to have to see if we can be as goofy as Jam, which is not possible, but we're going to do our best. Starting off with the Raining Jays hashtag, at McGar Studios, could trading Rozier for a less ball-dominant team player type help the Celtics out of their funk? One less mouth begging to be fed. Jay.
So I don't think – okay. Terry Rozier has not had a great start to the season. I think as much as just about anyone, he is struggling with his opportunities getting squeezed. I think his way of handling it has been to kind of lean back on some of his worst habits. It's kind of a crazy stat, but right now he's only taken 12 shots at the rim over the first 13 games, which is pretty startling for a guy that has his athleticism and bounce. And so, but at the same time, it's like Terry Rozier's good, and Terry Rozier can be part of a second unit that really, really should beat the heck out of teams and kind of has beat the heck out of teams, even with the way the Celtics are struggling.
Look,
so if you're going to trade Terry Rozier, it better be for someone who's going to help you right now, because the Celtics, as much as they've struggled right now, they're very much looking to win this year. And, you know, I thought if you were going to trade Terry Rozier, the time to do it was when you could have added something around the draft time. Right now it would just be kind of a weird time to do that, unless you really think that he's being an issue, and I don't see that.
I don't see it either. I don't think he's an issue, and I don't think you're going to get the type of return. I understand what the question is asking, that by getting Rozier out, you're taking away one more, like he says, mouth to be fed. So it's kind of what I've been saying, that the Celtics might have too many guys that are good that can go and get their shot. And Rozier is one of those guys who's good and who can go get a shot, but because of the crunch, like, then you say, okay, addition by subtraction in a way, because you want to add a guy who's maybe a defense first guy or a defensive only guy who's going to go in there and not take shots. I get it. I don't think that exists. I don't think there's going to be a trade for that exists. I think they're better off just making this work with Rozier. In regards to the going to your bad habits, I think this is when the shit hits the fan, this is when guys revert to what's comfortable. And bad habits are comfortable. That's why they've become habits. It's very easy to fall into something that is just habitual, regardless of whether it works. You just feel comfortable doing it. So all of these guys are guilty of falling into their bad habits. Every single one of these players on this team right now has a bad habit that they're falling into. It's uncomfortable to do some of the right things that the Celtics need players to do. So Rozier is as guilty as anybody, but I don't think that means that he should be traded. I think the Celtics are better off just holding on to him with the knowledge that he's probably going to walk in this offseason, and everybody can just make this work this way. At from Boston 218, the Butler trade and recent struggles, I think the Celtics figured out, but it makes me think if they're is a possible future Brown/Hayward trade for another star to clear up some space for a future free agent. I'm just going to flat out dismiss this and say there's no trade that's going to happen. I will say this in regards to any trade question. The only trade the Celtics, I think, make is something for a superstar. And I think it's something for like I bring up Anthony Davis, not that I think that that's going to happen, but it's an Anthony Davis level trade that happens around draft time / July. I don't think any kind of trade happens right now at this point during the season.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that one. I think the Celtics planning things out, they see who can become available. They see that Anthony Davis, the timeline he's on, if he says, I do not want the Mega Max, which he's eligible for next summer, then New Orleans is going to have to do something. And at that point, the Celtics will be sitting there jumping up and down, waving their arms and offering whatever the hell they have. But until that point, I don't see a big trade. I just don't think it's going to happen. As tough as some of these 13 games have been to watch, I think the Celtics are pretty damn comfortable with the talent level they have on their roster. And obviously they need to figure some things out and change some habits and learn how to play with each other. That is blatantly obvious through 13 games. But they're still pretty comfortable with what they have right now, and they're not going to rush into anything just because, like, ooh, through 13 games, they're only a little bit over 500, or, you know, they lost to three good teams on the road in the same road trip. No, that's not how Danny Ainge rolls. That's never been how Danny Ainge rolls. And so, yeah, I'm with you. If they get a big trade, if they trade one of their big pieces, it's going to be for some serious stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not even going to entertain any of that at this point. It's too early. So let's just move on. In a related kind of question, Tom Hall at Tom Hall 789 asks early, but are there any buyout or trade possibilities you think would help the Celtics before the playoffs? Areas of weakness to address if things stay the same. So let's start with this. Jabari Bird is still technically a member of the Boston Celtics, even though he probably won't be at some point. Now, the question is, at what point does the NBA make a ruling on whether they can get rid of his contract and open up a roster spot? How does that all work out? Until that happens, nothing can happen as far as bringing in either an imbalanced trade, a two-for-one, or signing any kind of buyout guy. Now, I expect that to happen before buyouts start to really pick up, but that's something that still needs to happen. As far as buyouts go, I don't know. I can't see anybody on the horizon at this point, unless it's that 15-year vet that Kyrie Irving was talking about. And I don't know. Well, who's that going to be?
What up, Kendrick Perkins? Where are you at?
Yes, I am all in on that.
That was a weird comment, by the way. I don't even know if he meant it. I don't know if he was like,
I don't know.
We really
don't
need a 14-year or 15-year veteran, or whether he was like, I wish I had more voices alongside me while I try to tell these guys to be patient and to trust in everything.
I mean, I guess he's the only guy on this roster that's won a championship, right? There's no other veteran on this. So
Aaron Baines.
Oh, right. Aaron Baines. Yeah.
Championship winner, Aaron Baines.
Yeah. Okay. So he's got that. So Aaron Baines can kind of pop in. That's a good call. Other than that, I don't know. I really don't know what the hell he was talking about there.
He was just frustrated after a tough loss.
I guess. So we'll just leave that alone, I suppose. I mean, he wasn't really available at practice to kind of clarify that. So we'll see. But in the meantime, we move on. One last Rain and Jay's question before we move on. And it's another lineup question from at Caleb Sams. I think it's far more important to keep Gordon with the starting lineup. I think it's a confidence and continuity thing. That being said, is it best to stick with the starting five, or do you think Baines in for either Brown or Tatum could shore up the energy and effort? I will say that Gordon Hayward did say at practice that he's willing to come off the bench. He's just kind of willing to do whatever coach asks. It was an answer to a question. It was kind of a generic answer to the
What's
question.
He going
to
say?
Exactly.
I'll quit.
Right. So, I mean, that's why I'm specifying it. Like, he's like, I'm happy. He says, I'm happy to be on the court. So whatever coach wants me to do is kind of the answer. But at the same time, he did publicly say, I'm expressing a willingness, if coach asked me to do this, to do this. So there is that, for lack of a better term, open door. We talked about this on the last podcast. I think keeping Gordon Hayward in the starting lineup is much more valuable in the long term than the short-term fix of moving him to the bench. If there is any value, I'm okay with, I think, Jaylen Brown going to the bench to start games, subbing in early, still maintaining the same amount of minutes. Then he can, with the second unit, I think, be a little bit more aggressive in hunting his own shot. and kind of being a leader on that second unit. I know Brad Stevens has experimented with how that second unit is going to be led, which starters are going to be in there with the second unit guys. So it's not bad, I think, to throw that experiment out there, at least for a few weeks in November, to say, let's try Jalen off the bench and see what the data shows. And then we can revisit this in December and say, these lineups look better, these lineups look worse, and then move forward.
I don't think they should change the starting lineup at all. I think that's going to be what separates them. I think they just need to figure things out. It's like, and Kyrie, who played on some Cavaliers teams who took a little while to figure things out, he'd be the first one to tell you, like, sometimes it just takes a while for teams to mesh. And that seems to be the case with this team. Like, right now, with the reconfiguring roles on this team and the fact that Hayward's not right yet and the fact that so many guys are trying to either expand their games in different roles or shrink their games into different roles, like, things just haven't been smooth so far. But they need to figure it out, and it'll pay a lot of dividends if they do figure it out. So I think you just keep going with it. And Brad has always been someone who kind of keeps going to things that he knows will ultimately work out. I can remember the IT&D lineup. It was just like getting outscored all the time in the first half of the season, and he just kind of kept going to it and kept going to it. And then when you looked up, it was like, oh, all of a sudden that's a pretty good lineup. And they had defensive issues with that lineup, but they figured some things out and got better and better as the year progressed. I kind of see that the same thing with the starting lineup. Like, as bad as it's been, the starting lineup is outscoring teams right now by, like, it has like a 0.1 net rating. It's like as bad as you could possibly get while still outscoring teams. And the offense has been just atrocious. And they're shooting something like 27% from 3-point arc with that group. But at the same time, like, their defense has been great. And if they figure out the offense, and they should figure out the offense with that much talent in that group, then that's a potential juggernaut. And so going away from that just doesn't make sense to me.
No, I get it. I totally get it. And I don't exactly disagree either. Like, I see the value in kind of mixing it up now and saying to, like I said, to Jaylen Brown, saying, okay, we want to see how this goes. And not to say that we are looking to make a long-term change. We want to see how it goes and see what the lineups do. Like, this is the ultimate experimentation. Maybe it doesn't have to be with the starting lineup. Maybe that lineup that you're looking for in the second unit is something that you slyly mix in somewhere in the second quarter to kind of see how they play together. And then you can go to Jaylen Brown later and say, hey, this is a lineup that works. So we're going to move you to the bench if you've gathered the data that way. But I can't say that you're wrong with keeping this lineup together. I go back to a quote from the Fan Fest from Al Horford, who said flat out, sometimes it takes a season, sometimes it takes a while. There's just no time.
Bringing back the Fan Fest quote.
Yeah, man. I got
for that. Those who didn't know, that was like midway through the preseason.
Yeah. So
that's a deep quote.
Yeah, going back in time. But that's a quote that it was reminded that reminded me of, you know, applying it to what's happening right now. Al Horford, being that voice, that seasoned voice, knows that sometimes it takes a long time. So these guys went into the season knowing that it could take a while. So I don't think there's any wrong answer. You can make a justified, I think, case for either of these things. So that's the Rain and Jays hashtag. Everybody tweet us as the games go on with the Rain and Jays hashtag. We'll talk about those. We'll include them in some of our post games. So may not get to all of them, but we'll try to get as many of them in as we can. Before we move forward, as always, I want to make sure that you guys are listening to the Lockdown Fantasy Podcast. If you are a fantasy listener, Lockdown Fantasy is the way to go to get your complete in-depth lineup changes, who's hot, who's not, what do you need to do, who do you need to pick up, all of that stuff. Josh Lloyd does an amazing job on the Lockdown Fantasy Podcast. It's the top show on our network because everybody who's a fantasy player is a fan of every player in the NBA. So it stands to reason you should be listening to the Lockdown Fantasy Podcast as well as the Lockdown Celtics. Search for them wherever you found us. A few raining junk questions, Jay. You ready? Buckle up.
I got a strap on my jam hat.
Yeah, what's the jam hat? I think the jam hat is one of those hats with the two beers on the side with the straws.
I wish I had one of those hats.
That would be great. You are a connoisseur of hats. You have the Newsies hat that you need to wear that beyond like your apartment. Like I've seen it on.
That's not a thing I'm going to wear very often.
I've seen it on you. It works, Jay. It works for you.
I'm just not totally convinced.
You did the whole Newsies. You lip-synced Newsies on Twitter, damn it. If you can lip-sync Newsies on Twitter.
That doesn't mean it works.
You can wear the hat in public, Jay. Strap on a pair and wear the damn hat in public, you coward. All right.
That's a good start to the rain and junk segment, though. That's how to strap on the jam hat.
That's how you strap on the jam hat with your two jumbo beers on the side, sucking down that Pabst Blue Ribbon. At Tom Hall 789, a quick rain and junk. If the C's could end up with Zion in the draft, could they hypothetically put out the thickest lineup in history of the NBA? Smart, Ojale, Yabu, Zion, and Baines. It would take years for the opposition to get around our screens. You could stack those guys up shoulder to shoulder at the free throw line, and just no one would get to the rim. How do you move those guys? Zion is a freaking beast.
He's so good.
Oh, my God.
He's so good. Like, that dude is the real, real, real deal.
Yeah. So, quick
point. He's not just highlights either.
No.
He's a great passer. He gets wherever he wants. He can handle the ball. And he's 290 pounds.
Yeah. So, quick plug on my Patreon account. My Patreon is where I put my exclusive stuff. One of my things that I did is I broke down a Duke basketball game. The first Duke basketball game against Kentucky where Zion was the star. I know they just played Army and he just went off. I caught some highlights of that. I haven't watched the game yet, but I assume Zion, it was just as good in all phases as he was in the Kentucky game. But against Army, okay. But against Kentucky, Kentucky's a legit basketball team, and he just did everything. The only criticism I had of Zion was that sometimes he got too enthusiastic, too energetic, and he had like a couple of reach-in fouls. Like he got a little, which is not a criticism at all. Like, that's not even a criticism. But when you're nitpicking in a scouting report, like, that's the only thing I had. I had problems with other guys, but with Zion, I was just, like, blown away. In the post, he knows how to use his body. He really had a nice, tight spin move where he used his shoulder almost as a way to hook a defender without actually hooking the defender. Just a great way to use his body. His footwork was amazing. The passing was amazing. Really, the only weakness right now is the consistency of his long-range jumper. Like, but other than that, and that's something
he's like if you gave Gerald Green's athleticism to Big Baby.
That's a great way to put it. Actually, that's a great way to put it. That's insane too. That's a crazy mad scientist mix. I've compared him to like Larry Johnson with like passing ability. I mean, there's no real comp. There's no real comp. If you put him on this team and you just lined him up, just him and Yabu and Ojale, like forget Baines and Smart. You could have those guys behind those other three. And those three would just be the thickest, baddest, just unbelievable. I can't even finish that sentence. I'm just
Hashtag thick.
I mean, thick with a bunch of C's. Like, Zion is the real deal, man. I hope that the Sacramento Kings just go on a big-time losing streak so we can get that second pick, and I hope somebody with the first pick makes a mistake. And that leads us into Catterday 1009. How many more games will the Kings win than the Celtics this season? Follow-up question. No, seriously. I hope. Look, if the Kings win more games than the Celtics, then I hope the Celtics just collapse to an insane degree somehow where they end up getting Zion with their own pick and then whatever. But the Kings, I was actually listening to the ESPN, like their True Hoop podcast, whatever the hell it was called, and they cited a statistic, which is interesting. The Kings are actually outperforming their expected field goal percentage. Like, there's some metric out there that is only exclusive to ESPN, which pisses me off that that's not available to the rest of us. But beyond that, there is a metric that tells you what you should expect guys to shoot based on who is shooting the shot. And the Kings are vastly outperforming that metric. And it just suggests that they're probably going to not sustain that. And so I hope the Kings have a losing streak in them and that they win as many games as the Celtics lose this season.
It may also just suggest that the same players who sucked in the past no longer suck.
Like
De'Aaron Fox. Willie Cauley-Stein, like Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield is having an amazing season. Okay, that's legit. De'Aaron Fox was a rookie. Like, that's just a guy progressing. Willie Cauley-Stein is having a good season. He caught an insane alley-oop last night. I don't even know how the hell he finishes. Like, just that was like CGI. Buddy Hield, I think, is having a breakout season and is almost justifying the Boogie trade. Like, when you think of how Boogie all worked out, them getting Buddy Hield, like, oh, that actually not the worst return in the world.
The man has a ratchet. 41.3% career from deep.
Yeah, he can shoot.
Just a ratchet.
Yeah. I have the feeling that maybe, you tell me if I'm wrong here, if I'm off base, that Buddy Hield could end up having like a J.J. Redick trajectory. Like a guy who struggled at the beginning, moved to a new team, and it suddenly found his kind of footing and is just a dead-eye guy that just kind of continues to get better as he gets older.
I don't hate that. I don't hate it at all.
Right. Well, shit. Dude, if that's where you're going to say there, I'm going to end the podcast and quit while I'm ahead. thanks, everybody, yeah, for the Rain and Jays and the Rain and Junk hashtags. Appreciate you guys listening. If you are a new listener, again, welcome. And I hope that you are not only going to subscribe, but I hope you give us a 5-star rating and a good written review, because that is like paying us money, which you don't actually have to pay us. Somebody else pays us the money. But by getting us up in the rankings, people want to pay us the money. So thank you for doing that. And the regular subscribers, when people ask, hey, what podcast should I be listening to? You say, you should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.